Right. Good evening. Today is July 17th. It's 5/20/24. It's 5:20 p.m. Phoenix, Arizona, and this is the Central Arizona Independent Oversight Committee. Holly Giesel, co-chair, and we I'll call the roll to make sure we have everybody here. Matt?
Present.
Rachel?
Present.
Joel?
He is not here yet.
All right, so I think we can, we're the quorum, a quorum is four. Yeah. Okay, so we are good. Let's go ahead and get started. Rachel can, Rachel, Joel can join us and catch up. I'll start with the conflict of interest disclosure at any point now or during the agenda if a member determines that the member has a conflict or a potential conflict, then consistent with the committee's rules and policies, you the committee member should refrain from discussing the issue or voting on the issue, announce the conflict, and then refrain. Any call to the public? I don't see any public members, but we can. So we'll proceed with the
Holly,
agenda.
Sorry to interrupt. Joel just showed up.
Hi, Joel.
Joel is now present.
So Joel is present. So absent, the only member absent from the committee this evening is Dr. Potts, who is on vacation, and we hope enjoying himself. let's take our, we have guests. We have Don from United Healthcare. We have Christina, and we have Bree. So maybe we could start with you guys and get your reports if you have any for us. Don, you want to lead off?
Thanks, Holly. Tonight, I actually do not have a report, but thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. I want to thank each of you and your organizations for showing up, for always being here, whether you have a report or not. We want your colleagueship and your participation, and over time I think that we're building a good group of colleagues and problem solvers, so I appreciate that every time. Christina, how about you?
Yeah, I will go ahead and introduce myself, and then I might actually pass it over to Leah to explain some of the reason why I'm here.
Great.
My name is Christina Hedges. I am the DDD OIPA administrator.
Excellent. Thank you for coming. I think that we have more similarities than differences in terms not only of trying to fulfill our statutory mission as IOCs, but in our populations who share a lot of history that and a much better present and hopefully brighter future than the past treated our folks and yours, if I can look at it that way. So we're really glad you're here. I know Mad Moms in particular and Rachel Strife are really looking at ways that the SMI community can learn from the DD community. And I'm so glad that you are here tonight, and I hope you'll join us whenever you can. And we look forward
to,
we look forward to hearing from you. Whenever you think you have something that you're proud of or you want to share or you think we should know about, please just send Larry an email, send me an email, and we will put you, we will put you on the agenda. I think that's wonderful. Okay. Who else is with you?
Leah, do you want to chime in here at all?
Hi,
sure, Leah.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Leah Gibbs, and I'm the Bureau Chief of our DDD CARES Administration, and our OIFA department is part of our CARES Administration here in DDD.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I'm not sure we've had, maybe years ago, Linda Meekum may have had somebody from the department here. Maybe you, Leah. I mean, I know you, but I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, I think I may, barring objections, and I don't think there will be any, we may want to add the DDD group to our list of community partners and just ask you to report each time if there's something you and Christina or Christina want to report, or both of you. So we do that with access with NAMI. I want to talk about how to strengthen some of these tonight. But it would be wonderful, lovely, if you could be here and give us a report as you see fit on things that you guys are working on and you want to share with us.
Thank you, Holly. I would like to just take a moment to say we are in full agreement that we have a lot more in common and that we have a lot of crossover, and we would be thrilled to be able to have that opportunity.
I am just so happy. I'm going to act like it's 68 degrees outside, so I'm going to be so happy when I leave here. And I want to thank Rachel and our members who've, Rachel and Summer know a lot about this area, and they've been, Mad Moms have really dug in, and it takes new voices and faces and ideas to get old friends to look at each other differently, you know? So I think that's wonderful. I'm really pleased with that. Okay, Bree, Northern Arizona.
Hi, everyone. Bree Barrios, Manager of Health Equity Advancement with Blue Cross Blue Shield Health Choice. I'm sitting in for Maria today, but I don't have any updates. I'm just happy to be listening in.
Okay, great. And I know you know Matt. You guys were chatting earlier. So again, we've got old friends doing things together. So that's absolutely great. Yep. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's go to
Holly.
Yeah.
Holly, it's Joe Kautzman with Banner Health.
Hi, Joe. I didn't see you. There you are. Hi.
Yeah. I thought I'd come on camera just to say hello to everyone, but I'm Joe and I'm with Banner Health, and I know Tyson's on the call as well.
Oh, good. Good, good. Joe, thank you. You're faithful in attending, and I appreciate that. And thank you. I didn't see everybody on there. I'm working on my phone because they're doing some work in my office on all of our computer stuff tonight. So I'm on my phone.
Okay. Well, no worries. No worries.
Thank you, Joe. And Tyson, hey, how are you?
Good, good. A little bit cooler than you folks up in the central region down in Tucson. We're only at 100 and something. Just a couple of things. I wanted to give updates from Mercy Care.
Great.
Our OIFA team will be presenting to a group that NAMI Valley of the Sun had coordinated to talk a little bit about OIFA and the OIFA role. We'll probably mention not only the committees that we help support through the health plan, but also the IOCs in case any of those family members or others might be interested in getting more involved. That'll be in August. I think I have the poster for it, Holly. So if I do, I'll send it over to you to share with the group.
Great. And we'll go ahead.
And the only other thing is, I've been out of the office and didn't get the invite over to you, Holly, to talk about the IOC during our member meeting at our health plan. So I'll send that information over to you. And if you want a few minutes in August or September, just let me know. And I'm happy to turn the floor over to you to talk about the IOC and its role.
Great, great, great. And I appreciate, really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to reach out and hopefully attract some folks, particularly members receiving service, who would like to be on the IOC. Well, we'd just love to have that. And I appreciated all of you in your organizations, Joe, Don, Christina, Bree, everybody. Please keep us in mind as you're talking with your folks. If there are individuals who, members receiving services, or family members, but particularly members, we'd love to have some members join the committee. So thank you in advance for continuing to keep us, you know, in mind when you're doing that. Okay, thanks.
Holly, we have one other person on the call.
Oh, good.
Ms. Burton, I don't know if you want to announce yourself.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you're on mute.
All right, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a mad mom too, and I'm here in very cool Washington, D.C. It's probably around 95, so. But I do have a son who lives in the Phoenix area, who gets SMI services.
So, okay. Well, I'm so glad you're listening in, and thank you. And I'm glad to hear. Evelyn, I knew your son was here, and I'm really glad that you're joining us. Please join us every time, and we will make sure. During our public comment period, if there is something that you just want to talk about and share with us in terms of what you've been going through recently with your son, we always have that public comment period, and we love to hear whatever you might want to share.
Well, I'll be glad to do that. You might not want to hear it though.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but that's what we do, right? And would love whatever you have to share, we will listen to.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else that I'm missing that I can't see? Okay. Moving down the agenda. Matt, I'd like to, let's start first. Did anybody do site visits? I don't believe so, and it's kind of tough to do them in this heat. Were there any site visits done?
I didn't complete any.
Okay. I didn't get a notice about any, so thank you for keeping that in mind as something that we do want to do. We haven't in the past few months. It's been very difficult, but we're going to address that and try to speed it up. IDs? Summer, I think you were looking some last night, but I know you've had a lot going on. Anything that you have on IADs?
One was concerning that I just read. I'm sorry, you might hear my kiddo with autism in the back, you know, losing his noodle because mom's, you know, not in his face right now. But that's a problem for my husband.
good. I'm glad.
But one IAD that I read actually just today was especially concerning. It was a individual who it's almost like I don't even know what question to ask in regards to seeing the failures. Obviously it hit really close to home when recognizing that they offered this individual a placement to the shelter upon release from an emergency room. And, but also has a lot of significant listed medical conditions that are tremendously concerning, especially that could be exacerbated by the heat. So I'm wondering why this individual who seems so ill has not been referred to like the public fiduciary's office or has the Office of Human Rights or any type of representative helping to advocate for safe placement for this individual. So I'm going to do an inquiry as to why, you know, proper representation for that person who is seems very vulnerable is not occurring.
And so this was from an ED, a hospital ED, not a psych hospital, not a screening agency.
It was kind of unclear in regards to, it seemed like it was, I mean, though it was extensive, there wasn't a clear picture. It was a lot of history embedded in there, which I appreciated to be able to read the history. But it just seemed that this individual is repeatedly popping up into the ED. And it seems that there was like a comprehensive like telling within the incident report of like the last few months of what's been going on with this individual.
So what triggered the incident report?
Almost like a proper case management, neglect, that kind of a thing. If I remember correctly, I might even still have it saved and open and I can tell you specifically. Let me take a look here. Let's see. An internal referral.
Okay.
It's showing. But I mean, substantial medical issues that are very concerning as to how this individual is not receiving more supports with how sick they are medically and both psychiatrically.
What were some of the medical issues?
Let me minimize this. Let's see here. Pulmonary hypertension, epilepsy, rheumatoid arthritis, and yeah, those were the big ones, especially the epilepsy really hit me because I have a kiddo with epilepsy and the heat is awful for them.
It's very bad, very bad.
And just that this individual that a the offering of a we'll take you to Cass, you know, and drop you off, and yeah, just inappropriate offerings, it seems, to this individual.
That's so tough. I think I've yet to wrap my head around how we send people like this individual that you're describing to the streets.
In reading it, that was the recommendation of during a discharge planning meeting. So they were, impatient. And I'm like, no, you can keep them there until you find an appropriate setting for this individual. So it's just very concerning, especially with the medical.
So what you run into is that, yes, they could hold on to them, but then they're fitting the bill for, $1,000 a day or whatever it is for an inpatient treatment. So you're right, they could hold them and they could continue to find that. And sometimes they will, it's rare. But if that's like an expectation, I think we should have talked about that last meeting. Like we need to continue, like whose obligation is it to request guardianship for somebody, and that process can take, I don't know, how long does it take, Holly? It takes weeks or months at least, right?
We should ask Josh to talk. We can ask Josh that, but weeks. An emergency is going to take a week or so. It's not going to happen in an hour.
I think it's just alarming, though, because this incident report, it clearly shows a months-long issue of this individual's deterioration.
So that they should, the SMI clinic really should have been the one that did that, right? Like
that's, right, exactly. Yeah. Like that's my point. When you can clearly see that a person cannot advocate for their psychiatric or medical needs, and yet you're still, you know, chasing your tail, repeating, you know, the same thing over and over again, and thinking that, oh, this will be the time they'll, things might be different, and it's just not happening.
Well, what I'd like to say is that I don't think that we're going to see any change in SMI clinic's behavior over this without some sort of movement from our end or legislatively. So Summer, I would just caution you to know every time you see that, that's exactly what they're going to do. And occasionally you might see one where someone did that.
I know, Matt.
I just don't want you to keep beating yourself up, because they're like horrible stories for sure. And those people, in my opinion, definitely do need help. But last month, I remember you said that you were going to start requesting additional information on some of them and ask for what follow-up was done to do outreach for people. Did you get any reports back on those that you had done?
In all honesty, that's on my to-do list. There have been some very, Holly knows, it's just a lot of things going on in regards to the care of my brother. He's taken precedence this last month.
Yeah, not a problem at all. I would just say that the way that we start doing action on this is that you get those responses. I also put some in today. Asking for what the outreach attempts were by the clinical team, because I think that you were right, and I thought about that since the last meeting. I think that is appropriate. So I would be interested to see what they said to that, and then I think that we can start moving forward on saying, okay, like, hey, SMI team, this person was clearly an issue. Like, can you know, the oversight bodies tell us why they did not pursue that when this person's clearly there? I think that is an avenue where we can start fixing this problem.
Yeah, I think the IADs are giving us are giving us information that is ripe for follow up with a few very targeted questions. And you know, my question is why wasn't somebody from the clinic at the hospital for the discharge?
Well, they're in an emergency room. They did. Okay, great.
Oh, if it was an and that's the thing is, like I said, with this, and I can send in a private email the actual IAD number so you can take a look at it, because it's a substantially long IAD report, that it talks about all the different places where they were, you know, inpatient at this, and because it is an internal referral. And I think whoever wrote it was like, hey, we need clarification as to why there's repeated hospitalizations, as persons popping up in the, you know, the ER, is then, you know, a few days later at Copper Springs, and then, you know, just really bouncing around from ED to inpatient settings. And it notes that the case manager is there, and to read that the recommendation from the case manager was the situation of being, would you like a ride to Cass? Like, I'm like, what? Excuse me. That's, did you even try to look for placement to offer this individual?
Well, and I would say that if the case manager showed up at the emergency room, that's above and beyond for an SMI case manager. I don't even know how the heck they would know that unless the client, the person called them themselves. I'm still stuck in my old thinking, so forgive me.
Well, sometimes though too, Matt, if the clinic is actually paying attention, when an individual ends up with an SMI status, ends up in the hospital, they'll get a hit. A lot of times they'll get a hit within their system saying like, hey, you know, so-and-so's here. And that's if they're paying improvement. Attention. Yeah.
Big improvement. That's if they're paying attention. The fact that the technology allows for that now.
Yeah,
so I also put in some requests for additional information on some today. So I think that, send that out to us. Let's investigate us internally, look at it, and then request for more information. And then when I get the ones back that I requested more information on, I'll also bring that up. I did want to bring up something on this. I was going through today to do what I understand to be my assigned IADs, which is the 1st through the 6th of the month. And it looked like somebody had already gone through and clicked into a bunch of them. So I just wanted to see if that's still the assignment. Like, is that, are we still organized the same way, or was someone else given the beginning of the month? That I wanted to make sure that we're not like duplicating work.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
So the last time that I was that Jack like organized who does what days of the month. I was given the 1st through the 6th. Those were mine, was the, you know, SMI 1st through 6th a month. I went today to go do mine, and it, someone had already clicked through and like already like whatever the blue button is on the QM portal, they had already checked the box. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't, things hadn't changed, and then I wasn't duplicating efforts because I didn't want to go through and read them all if somebody else had already done them.
I don't know. I didn't do that. Summer?
I didn't check the boxes. I just read. I go through all the IADs. I look through all of them just to, even through my assigned ones. And I take a look at what's going on in general. I like to just have a, I guess, self-torture, you know?
Well, yeah, if you see them and you don't see a problem, please click that box, because that'll,
okay,
that'll make sure that we don't all go in and look at it.
It may have been
and I have withdrawn myself from IAD reviews for logistical reasons. So I don't think the original schedule, if you will, is in play. It probably needs to be re-evaluated.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Rachel. So Summer is our is the queen of IADs, because she enjoys going through them, goes through many of them. Matt, I think your idea about the follow-up and asking for additional information is what's key. And we can talk about the IADs each time that we're looking at, and then bring it back with a recommendation after we've got all the background information.
It may have been me, Matt. I was looking through some today and I was checking the boxes. Dr. Potts never formally kind of assigned me any days. I think he was debating giving me Josh's old one, but that never happened, and I've never clarified with him. Well, so it could be me, but I can coordinate with you better, Matt, going forward.
Thank you. I'm just glad we're looking. That's good. The fact that the other three people looked at them this month is good.
It's excellent. Okay. So, I think that we should focus. I think this issue of individuals with physical illnesses and who are SMI being on the streets, even if it weren't as hot as it is, I think when you were saying, you know, that summer you were talking about the note describing all the places he had been, the hospitals, the emergency rooms, Copper Springs, so on and so forth, what's going on. For me, it's pretty simple. How do you take care of all those illnesses and a qualifying diagnosis to be SMI homeless? I mean,
Exactly. And there were even substantial psychiatric, diagnoses for that individual as well. I was like shocked when you're reading through, you know, the diagnoses or the list of, you know, everything they have going on. I was like, oh, wow, this is one that I've never seen before. Like that many. It was that substantial.
And why wouldn't this person qualify for a birth?
Or even
Altex. I mean, all those conditions, wouldn't Altex be appropriate?
Right. And that goes down to case management. And from what I did read within the IAD, there was never a recommendation for a BHRF. It was would you like a flex care? I'm like, that's not appropriate, it just seems that...
Well, and it's interesting. Flex care would be better than nothing. And so is this individual declining services? Is this voice and choice? And if so, okay. But if you're exercising your voice and choice and you're spending most of the last month in an emergency room, a psychiatric hospital or other facilities, are you competent to make that choice?
Exactly. And that was my big problem with it. You could clearly see just by reading that this individual does not appear to be capable of making appropriate choices for themselves.
Safe choices, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I would have assumed if there was substantial drug involvement that we would see some other issues. I would have expected, for instance, if it's an adult, were you able to see an age?
I can tell you. The age, 35.
All right. I would expect then if it were somebody who had had a substance use disorder history, and at that age, to see things like hepatitis, because heroin, that's somebody who would have been around in the heyday of heroin. I mean, I haven't seen heroin in so long.
Right, and there was no listing in the diagnoses of a substance abuse disorder.
See? Yeah, yeah. This is just so sad, so, so sad. And I think, you know, Rachel, you mentioned Altex. I think that we should start, and because of our interest in learning from the DD folks, I think we should start flagging the IADs that we see that cause us to say, gee, is this person really someone who should be Altex?
Yeah.
And flag them. Does that make sense, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good.
Because the options of care are just so much substantially greater when you can have mental health, you know, SMI and Altex, an Altex component, you know, and I know that from personal experience with my children. It's more frustrating for me, I think, than the average person to see the quality of care and services, and almost like they want to throw services at you for your child, you know, or your even adult child to try and help them in comparison with the SMI system. It's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, yeah, bad, bad, bad. And I know that talking with some of the mad moms who have children who are in the DD system, and their services are more comprehensive. The availability of attendant care. This is something that Mad Moms has really brought to the forefront of discussions, and it's so valuable to have it going on. Okay, Joel, did you say you looked at some at IADs?
Yeah, I did. I didn't have any that were of significant concern that is worth bringing to the committee. I did have a question, just a jurisdictional question of we're looking at SMI, we're not looking at GMH, correct?
Correct.
And then secondly, are we looking at the adolescent children or solely adults?
We can look at children, sure.
Okay. Okay.
And that's and I think you know, you look at onset of certain illnesses, that is really important, particularly in late teens, to have that. And Phoenix Children's Hospital will keep, for certain diagnoses and needs, they keep people, you know, well, now into their clinics and so forth, into their early 20s, because of continuity of care. And they have one of the best autism centers. And the doctor there, who Summer knows, he doesn't dump people out at age 18. They keep them there.
Well, and he won't even release them until he feels comfortable and confident with the provider taking over care for that individual. So he's amazing. He's wonderful.
Excellent. Let's see. No site visits. We have the incident reports.
I'm sorry. Dawn has her hand raised.
Oh, hi, Dawn. Yep.
Hi, Holly.
with the current conversation, I thought maybe it might be helpful for this IOC to maybe have Vicki Staples come and present on their Valleywise First Episode Center, which serves from 15 to 20. I think it's, I don't know, Holly, maybe it was 25 or something like that. I see Tyson's hand up as well. So if you want me to, I'll, you know, work maybe with Tyson and Frederica to send you that information, or what do you think?
Yeah, let's just get it scheduled. If she, well, she's busy, obviously, and does a great job. I would love to have her here and do that, and we can make sure that the other IOCs know about it, because they can learn. And, and we all know First Episode is, it's not brand new, but it's within the past 4 or 5 years where we've really, the science has come a long way in understanding the importance of managing that first psychotic episode. That's very cool to have that. And I appreciate you bringing that up. Let's just get it scheduled in October.
Holly,
I'm sorry, August. Tyson's,
sorry, go ahead. Tyson's saying, I don't understand what that means, Tyson, LFC.
So Law of Frontera Impact also has an early psychosis program that serves the central part of the state.
Excellent. Yeah. Let's get them too.
There are also early psychosis programs in Southern Arizona. You know, that might be appropriate for the South IOC to have those Banner and community partners to present.
Oh, that's right. Banner does have one down south. I forgot about that. I've had a client, I had a client who benefited a lot from that program. So that would be great. Larry, can you try those four folks? It would be La Frontera, it would be Banner, it would be Vicki Staples, Valleywise, and then there was one more, I think.
Community Partners Integrated Healthcare, and they serve Southern Arizona.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So I think that would be terrific. We could have a lot of time to hear about that. And I think we can share with them in advance. I can do a quick email for you, Larry, to let them know that we do site visits, and we make IOC, obviously, visits. We review IADs. I'm wondering if there are things that, I mean, they could really help us. What should we be looking for in IADs? Are there things we should look for that will signal a first episode? And we could then follow up and try to see if referrals have been made.
Holly Frederick is asking for that in writing.
Okay, sure. Asking for the request to do this in writing.
Yeah. And just while I'm speaking, are we doing, I forgot what we used to call it, but you used to let us talk about like events and things that are happening within the community. Yes. Is that under new business or public comment? Is that what you're planning on?
No, I'm going to put it under new business.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's great. I'm really glad that you brought this up. And I do want us to try to get in community voices, organizations. Please, all of our folks who attend, keep in mind in your organizations things that we should know about, so we can, and we'll do a little presentation. We'll invite some legislators and other people to hear about it. We can just send it out and do it as a little webinar, and we'll get through our business quickly, and then have maybe an hour to do that, because then we can incorporate that we can turn our IADs into more sort of data mining and case mining to find out places we can help and what to look for, so we're more informed. Okay, great. I think that
we'll go on now to new business. And I know there have been a lot of things happening around the state. Let me, I have to go and ask. I'm out of order here. I got to ask for Larry and Frederica from Access, an update from Access and from the Department of Administration. Anything new?
Hi, Holly. I don't have anything from Access. I did, however, receive your IAD requests, Matthew, so we will be working to get those sent out for a response back.
Okay, and we'll come back and talk about that. Great. Anything, Larry, from Department of Administration?
No, just a quick update on the fiscal year started. New fiscal year started July 1st. Annual report will be due November the 1st.
Okay.
So we have several months to get the data and the report finished. Yeah, so,
two-year report.
Yeah. So, I mean, these topics that you're bringing up now today are great topics to put in your annual report, because the community stakeholders want to hear these issues and want to hear the pain points that the members are having. So I think it's great to have this information in that report. So
yes.
And another thing for the committee too, when you do your on-sites, you need to have your badge, IOC mm-hmm. badge with you. So if you haven't received one, or if you need a replacement badge, please let me know. And I can get that done for you.
I'll need one, Larry.
Okay, Joel, if you could send me like a passport photo, if you could email me one, okay. Then I can get that out to you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel.
Great. Okay. And I would like to ask, in terms of our community organizations, we used to have reports from NAMI, and we haven't had. Jim Dunn was on the committee and then stepped off the committee. And he was not Valley of the Sun. He was,
Arizona
NAMI. Okay, great. Thank you. We could certainly just use Valley of the Sun, because that is really more our geographic area. Who is someone, and Matt, do you things with NAMI, right?
Not directly, but I think Christina Sabata is the ED right now, so we could ask her.
All right. And Rachel does. Mad Moms meets with NAMI regularly, or am I making that up?
Not regularly, but we have several Mad Moms that are part of our group and NAMI activities. Okay. We do have connections.
All right, excellent. Let's do this. Matt, you might want to reach out. And Rachel, if you've got a couple of Mad Moms who do NAMI activities. Oh, I know Jane does, doesn't she?
Yeah, Jane and Christine are very involved.
Excellent. So what I'd like is somebody who can come. Excuse me, who can come for NAMI and give us an update on their activities and keep us informed about what they're doing. So that would be great. At one point we had a NAMI member, Jim Dunn, sat on the board, but the position was a non-voting position, and then he decided, I think it was, you know, too much time and work if he didn't get to vote. So, and I appreciate that. I understand that. So let's think about how to get some information from NAMI. We're going to now have the DD folks, which is wonderful. And we'll add those. I'll make sure I do an email for Larry to get the DD folks on the list for each meeting, which is great.
And any other groups that, Rachel, Mad Moms, you can represent Mad Moms, obviously, and report on what Mad Moms is thinking about. Are there other groups we are missing that we want to reach out to? Matt, you and I don't know, you and Joel, is there anybody you can identify that would be good to reach out to?
Like, as far as like, not peer organizations, but peers to us, like advocacy organizations, the only one on top of my head is ACME.
Community partners, yeah.
Yeah. I'll think more on it.
Okay.
I can't think of any time I have.
Yeah, I can certainly report on ACME, Rachel, or I can. That would be, Rachel's going to do Mad Moms, I can do ACME. Good thought. I hadn't even thought about ACME. That's pretty weird.
It's only been 7 years.
I don't know. Any other, they're on our agenda as community partners. And so think about that. And Joel, please think about it as well.
Yeah, I will do.
Okay, good. All right, we will move on then to new business. And I did receive an email. Larry received an email from several organizations regarding some very serious concerns with services and care in Yavapai County through one of the agencies there, one of the organizations there. I did not put it on our agenda because it's Northern Arizona, and I wanted Dot O'Brien and her committee to have the opportunity to dive into that. I'm sure we'll hear about this later. It was signed off on, I think, by Peer and Family Coalition, Mad Moms, and NAMI, Valley of the Sun, or NAMI Arizona. I'm not sure what that...
It was NAMI Arizona and both Northern Arizona Peer and Family and Central Arizona Peer and Family.
And Mad Moms.
And Mad Moms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this relates to, Rachel, if you want to describe it, relates to sort of a consensus about concerns about the quality of care and continuity of services.
Yep, it was in the news, and unfortunately, there was a young woman, a member, who was getting services through Spectrum up in Yavapai. Her case was dropped, probably inappropriately. There's concerns about the caseloads of case management with Spectrum Clinic, and there's been several situations of case managers and peer support specialists kind of being in harm's way as a result of overloaded case managers, a lack of services. I think that would be the way to describe it. And there's been a tragedy as a result.
Yeah.
With a young woman now behind bars, a family that's been injured. So this is, and I can't really read the chat. I see Frederica had a comment. Crystal Fox and I signed on to this letter requesting an investigation. Yes, this is the Northern Arizona IOC. So if it's coming to Central IOC, I assume it'll be handled by the Northern Arizona IOC.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't put it on the agenda, but we are just dealing with sort of new business so we can generic items. And it's an important one because the member went on to stab her parents, and it was a big deal. I live part of the time in Sedona in Coconino County, and so I know the a small town. There are less than 10,000 permanent residents in Sedona. And so kind of everybody knows everybody if you're a permanent resident, and we've been there for decades. So, as had this family. So it's very sad. Very sad. Okay. Matthew, I think you had some other things you wanted to bring to the table.
Oh yeah, I got lots of stuff. Okay, so the first one, I just want to spread some awareness for a couple events. There's an organization called Black Therapists in Arizona, and their goal is to kind of raise awareness of, counselors that are Black and practicing in the field. They have an event on Saturday. Put a little thing in there so you guys can kind of share it in your networks. But last year they had 250 people attend, and the idea is that you can go in person and meet the therapist. You can, they have panels on maternal mental health, men's mental health, trauma and resilience. And then, you know, it's just like a, it's an event. So it's in South Phoenix at Skyline Prep High School. So I just wanted to raise awareness of that. I think it's an excellent event and I will be there. The next one is something Mental Health America has been working on for a while in conjunction with other people. It's called Mental Health Matters. So last year we had a conference at Sky Song, and it's a free conference for anyone in the community to show up to. The mayor of Phoenix, the governor's office, the mayor of Scottsdale showed up last year, and we had about 250 people attend. The idea is that it's a short conference on a Saturday so that, you know, just regular people can show up. The audience is just anyone in the community that has questions about mental health, how to get help for it, and to give them something tangible they can walk away from and help their family and friends with that. So that conference is coming up on September 28th, but we've also launched a website. And the idea is a lot of the people behind this organization are family members and friends of people that have mental health conditions, and when the issues, the family members' issues began, they didn't know anything about mental health or where to go. And so we wanted to kind of create a resource where you can go and just find out the basics on mental health and find resources that are vetted. So it provides an explanation of therapy. It provides an explanation of, you know, intensive outpatient, inpatient, different levels of care, what to expect when you see a therapist. And so we made it from the community members' point of view to make it as simple as possible to kind of equip yourself to understand at a very basic level how that's going. So I put the website in there. So
what day is it?
September 28th is the conference.
Okay.
And is it at Sky Song?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Excellent. And
I'm trying to bring awareness to the website as well, because there's so many times where people come to us at MHA or me personally or a lot of us on this phone call and say, what do I do? And our goal was to just give this out so that it's just a very simple, digestible, easy thing for a lay person to understand how to get help for people and how to understand that, because no one ever explains to you, here's your insurance, here's how you get mental health care through your private commercial insurance. You know, like those kind of things are all addressed on here. So I put that website in there.
Got it.
And then finally, if anyone's interested, I will be doing a presentation for SAMHSA on 911 and 988, what's now called interoperability, but, you know, the working together of 911 and 988s across the country. So I'll be presenting on that. Next Thursday. So if anyone's interested, you can go to my LinkedIn or you can message me directly, but I'm kind of excited about it. So I figured I would pump it up a little bit.
Excellent. And that's very cool. Matt, as you're going through a lot of these ideas and talking about resources, I wonder if we can make a page, if we can, Larry, on our website, if we can do some links to these events, and in particular, if there's this other website that has vetted resources by Mental Health of America, we can start linking those kinds of things to our website, which I think would be very helpful. We haven't done that. And we could. The next thing I want, okay, let me come back. I'll come back to my point. Other people who have issues that you want to make the committee aware of that are going on in the community and that we should know about?
Holly, there was a complaint that came in.
Uh-huh.
And I assume that this was on the agenda that was emailed to you and I and Larry, that for us to investigate. Are we talking about that on this meeting?
Was that CBI?
It is CBI related, yes.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
Am I skipping ahead? I can't really see the agenda.
On my phone. No, that's fine. Let's do that now. That's great. We'll circle back let me finish this. Let's finish this line, and then we're going to come back and do that one. I thought the CBI one was mislabeled for the one in Yavapai. So I'm sorry. Okay, that's my bad. The last thing I wanted to do, I've mentioned this several times, but I want to do it again tonight. We have a Facebook page, which I created out of frustration years ago, but it has nothing on it. Is there somebody who is able and interested and good at doing Facebook posts so that we can put things on our Facebook page and as people are, you know, going around social media and looking for things? I'd like to talk about sort of social media in general for the committee. And we do have Facebook, but any thoughts on that? How can we do that in a burdensome manner? Nobody's like going, oh yeah, I love to do Facebook.
I'm already on too many Facebook groups as a moderator. I don't have bandwidth.
Yeah, that's fine. On mental health, should we list those Facebook links so our folks in the public can participate, or are they private? We can deal with that later. Okay. Anybody do Facebook stuff? Anybody have a bored 10-year-old? All right.
If they're 10 years old, they're not on Facebook. Sorry, Holly.
They're not?
No, Facebook's turned into like over 40 now.
Oh, my grandson my grandson's 8 and he Facebooks me all the time.
It's Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
Do we have any Instagram and TikTokers?
I mean, my husband calls it InstaFace. So, you know, yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's important to do social media. I think a lot of families are just, I mean, it's as simple as, you know, help in Arizona, you know, and putting keywords in there. I can't devote a substantial amount of time with, you know, to it, but I can devote some time to it. You know, and linking certain things, you know, information of when our meetings are, and then like when Matt Gates sent the links, you know, I can hop on and post little things. You know, and obviously I think a lot about SMI and corrections a lot. That's like my go-to. And I don't know if it'd be appropriate to put on like the IOC InstaFace, you know, whatever we want to call it. You know, even links for families, if, you know, their loved one goes to be incarcerated, you know, and you are a guardian, first step is to go here and upload your guardianship paperwork to start the process of being able to communicate with the jail. You know, it doesn't have to even be SMI specific. A lot of people don't know that, you know, they're not able to talk with the jail, and it's because they don't have, you know, if they're guardians, because they don't have they haven't taken the proper steps. And it can be very confusing because it pushes you to a bunch of different websites. It's not like just the jail has just the jail. You have to go to correctional health services and then you have to put this and you have to put that. And they don't know that the importance of it, especially when you submit it, you basically get like a receipt showing that you submitted it, which I do appreciate with correctional health, that when you send a message, you have the option to have it sent to your email showing that you sent them important information. So I think of things like that.
Larry, is there a a group of interns that are in the state, like high school interns, college interns, that do work at the Department of Administration or who get internships in the state government that we could draw on to? I mean, if when I was in high school, if I had been able to have something like this to do, I would have been all over it because it makes your resume look good, right? And this was even before it was hard to get into college. So I'm wondering, are there any resources in the state government, interns or at Access, somebody we could use?
You know, I'm not really sure about ADOA. I know we have interns, but I don't know about any kind of social media presence or anything like that. I could certainly check on that for you. If that's something that we can utilize.
That'd be great if they're not all fully taken up. And maybe we try to get an intern. Maybe we try to advertise for one for the IOC, like for next semester. For fall or for the spring, winter.
Okay, I can certainly check.
Okay, thank you. And Frederica, anything in Access that you know about?
I don't, Holly. Honestly, I've never met any interns here, but that doesn't mean they don't exist here. So I can check as
right.
well.
Okay, that'd be great. All right, thank you very much. Anything else under new business that we need to discuss?
Just that, the one that Rachel was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it? Okay.
So I'll try and make this brief, but it's a very complicated member, and the mother reached out to us, and I would say that the mother is very complicated. What concerns me is this trend, and this case, I believe, is a good example, because we have a lot of mothers and caregivers that reach out to our group, obviously. And we had, I want to say, 20 or 30 new people join us just from the last news article. So we've gotten like a flood of new families. This particular case, the members in jail currently, he's been in and out of the criminal justice system. Again, a complicated case. He was on a fact team with CBI, and at some point was evicted from SMI housing. And members of the fact team, and let me just say, I may not have everything exactly right on this. There's some communication barriers with the mother, and I'm getting information from her, and it's just been difficult. Okay, so I don't think she's in the best of health. She is disabled and a bit elderly. So the fact team, after this, the day that he was evicted from SMI housing, the fact team brought him to this disabled mother's house. And really, there was apparently no other option for him to live anywhere. And of course, mother, who's disabled, I think like in a wheelchair, thought she really had no choice but take her son in, which I'm seeing a lot of. And then she was told that there will be a housing meeting in 2 days, but just keep him here for now. So a fact person with active issues being handed over to a disabled mother who is elderly and has problems of her own. Well, it didn't go well. The housing meeting that was supposed to happen was one person from the clinic coming by to visit. The member was not in a position to really participate, so nothing happened. They never followed up. The mother says she tried to contact the fact team, tried to contact the clinic to find out what was going on, but didn't get a call back. Now, she's very difficult to communicate with. It wouldn't surprise me that perhaps they had trouble talking with her, okay? And so just maybe did call her back and it didn't go well, or just didn't call her back. Well, the situation goes, the young man deteriorates, okay? Someone on a fact team with SMI who just got evicted from SMI housing, what do you think's going to happen, right? She, not wanting her son to end up in jail again, calls the non-emergency police. Like, she didn't know that there's crisis lines that you can call. So again, she just was not prepared to even have this kind of a member in her home. So she calls non-emergency police, just asking what her options are. They end up sending regular police. It doesn't go well. And he ends up in jail with charges for, you know, aggravated assault, resisting arrest. You know, she, exactly what she did not want to happen is what happened. And none of this should have happened in the first place. This young man should have not been just basically dumped in disabled mother's house when he was evicted from SMI housing. So there's a lot of really challenging elements of this case.
And he's got, this guy has a lengthy, lengthy criminal history. Yes. He's just got out of DOC not long ago. He's been in trouble all over the state. So anybody who looked, that's why he's on a fact team. I mean, those are potentially the most dangerous and the most justice involved, because we don't have, but I don't know, two in Phoenix or something. We don't have many. So this is, I mean, Rachel has just summarized, this was a predictable tragedy. So now the question becomes, where does he go? And, you know, hopefully not back to prison, but.
Or back to his mother. I mean, apparently he's bondable, but she's not.
He can't go back there. It wasn't DV. I guess it was only, it wasn't domestic violence, I guess. It doesn't sound like. So he could go back to his mother, and that would be a disaster.
And so, correct me if I'm wrong, Rachel, he's not even allowed to return.
I can't get a full straight story, but in listening to the mother try and communicate all the problems she's had, I heard fact team dumping a potentially dangerous, actively deteriorating person on a disabled mother who should not be placed in that situation and say, hey, we'll be back in 2 days for a housing appointment that never even really happened or followed up. And then he ends up in jail, of course. So what are we doing with fact members and just placing them with elderly parents? Come on.
Yeah. So moms, I told her, asylum.
Yeah.
Moms,
I told her to email the IOC to investigate. That's what I know. It will be difficult to talk with her. It'll be difficult to get all the information. She's obviously got issues herself, but someone needs to ask this clinic what they did for this kid. So
that's it. Let me think. I suppose Let me think. Is she going to email the IOC?
She did, and I forwarded it to you. She emailed me? The IOC. She emailed, I think I forwarded, I sent it to you if I didn't. But she emailed Larry and me, and Larry, I think, forwarded to you.
Oh, then I need to go. I'm sorry I missed it. I've been in the Arizona State Hospital for most of the last, for today. And
so if you don't have it, I'll text you the name. I don't know if I want to put the names on the meeting, but I will.
Yeah, because we don't really have a complaint yet. We hopefully we do, but we haven't seen it.
It's a request to investigate.
Yeah, okay. Well, definitely. And I think these kinds of things, it's important to share some of the details like we're doing right now, so the whole committee understands what's out there. And when there's one that's as complicated as this and that crosses over sectors and has justice involvement and somebody who's obviously very ill and a family member who's vulnerable, then we want to, I'm glad everybody got to hear about it. And I think we'll continue to do that so that we know that there's there, all of these are important, but this one is unique and we want to kind of highlight those for the rest, for the whole committee. Okay, thank you, Rachel. I will look for that and we will find it. Anything else? There is, I did talk with earlier with Larry about the possibility of a statewide IOC meeting with the folks from Northern Arizona, Southern Arizona, Ash, and us. There is no money in the budget, obviously, in Arizona's budget this year. We did a couple of those, and they were really very cool. We did one in Casa Grande 1 year or 2 years, and we haven't done one in Phoenix, but we've got people, we would have people from all over, but maybe we just do a big Zoom one and try to get that organized. I learned an awful lot back then. Nancy Bartow spoke, and that, so it may have been 10 years ago. It was probably 8 at least. So that's something we'll be thinking about for the fall, maybe, depending on how long it might take to get it together. We're going to have a meeting of the IOC chairs to see if we can get that put together. And Larry will be helping to coordinate, Larry and Frederica, of course, helping to coordinate that. Anything else? Okay. Matt, be sure and email me the information on the conference on the 28th. And also, please get me the information on your SAMHSA presentation, because I want to get that out. Okay?
I appreciate
and
it.
Matt, you were talking about having a separate Zoom to discuss some recent, you had emails.
Yeah, we can just deal with it in the email. We just need to set up another meeting to, we never addressed the response to our questions from your stuff. So I want to make sure we don't drop all those.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get a separate Zoom so we can just focus on those responses. And we have a lot that we need to cover in these monthly meetings. And I'm going to try to use breakout meetings where everybody can hop on a Zoom, you know, 7 to 8 a.m. if we need, or, you know, at some point that time that works so we can really drill down on some of the incident reports and follow-up action. And we just post it. It is a meeting, and we have to post the meeting, but it doesn't take up so much time. And then we will report on the results of those sort of breakouts at our regular monthly meeting. So everybody knows what we're doing.
Holly, question for you. Yes. With the IOC, I don't know, is it in our capacity? I've been, a few mothers have reached out to me whose kiddos are incarcerated, is that can the IOC put in inquiries to the jail?
Sure.
Okay.
We don't have jurisdiction over the jail, but we can certainly, if it's in, they came from Maricopa County, they're seriously mentally ill, they're in jail. So I would be happy to think about how we could set that up. That's something we could look at. And how do we set it up?
Especially if the clinics are involved, like their loved one, there's no case managers are doing in-reach within the jail, which is what they're supposed to be. I know that specifically. So a lot of struggles with, with that. And you never know. I mean, I know of one good mental health manager at the jail, at one of the jails, that actually does do his due diligence and trying to connect with the clinics and having private conversations with him. He said it is probably the bane, and the pain of his job is trying to get these clinics to respond, especially when it's coming time to discharge inmates. And the clinics are non-responsive and they, by law, just have to release them to the street.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. And if it's up at 2 a.m. in the morning, you can't hold them till 8:30 because you got that's when your time is up. Summer, that's a really important topic because I can see that moms here are
desperate. They're trying so hard. They're desperate. They're just desperate to do anything, to try and ease what their loved one is experiencing within the jail.
And they want them to be released, but not at 3 a.m. when they call from a Circle K. And
right.
Yeah. So, okay. I think that is, that certainly falls within our area because it has to do with services that are being provided to a member by clinics that are in this geographic area. So absolutely. I think that's a really important thing, and we may want to set up a meeting with some of the members. Matt, that might be something, Joel. Everybody has an interest, but I'm thinking people who have actually dealt with folks being released and not with the best discharge plan, release plan from jail. So we can talk about that, and I'm going to put that on maybe our working agenda when we're going to, Matt, we're going to talk about follow-up. I think we could also talk about this as an area that we consider getting, how we can best fulfill our statutory responsibility with this population. And
I mean, because the jail is willing to do courtesy releases, if they can connect with the clinics, they are very good about, rather than releasing them at 3 a.m., if they can be in touch with these clinics to, hey, is a 10 a.m. release good, where you will literally meet your member outside of the gates, outside of the door of Watkins Jail, and they can't even get a response. So they just
there's a very, very talented, very, very good, talented sergeant at Watkins who's head of the release program.
Yeah.
And he's got a team down there.
Yeah.
We've been able to organize, have people picked up there, taken right to the hospital, so that they're, you didn't have somebody lost on release.
Yeah.
So we can certainly talk about that. It's an interesting area, and I think it's one that really could help families and fall within our statutory responsibility.
I mean, of course I care about the families, but ultimately it's the SMI individuals, that I really think about. Like, of course I care about the families deeply. I care about them. But at the end of the day, it's about the people that we're trying to help, which is the SMI individuals. And it's just, it's atrocious.
Got it. Okay. Wonderful. So Joel, anything?
Nothing for me.
Okay. Matt, anything?
No, thank you.
Rachel?
All good.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, we will be in touch. We'll get everything out for next month, and we'll get a breakout meeting on our follow-up items. Thank you all, and thanks to everybody in from the community and our partner agencies who attended. We appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
We're done. Bye.